This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Dystopical. Dystopical is a debate and a reflection on what matters to queer women in the community. And tonight's show is going to be really interesting. We're talking to Rani, who is a sex worker, and we're talking about lesbians and sex work. Queer women and sex work. Farine, you're always so much more politically correct than I am.
When I need to be.
Yeah, which is rarely. However, keep going. Tell us a little bit more.
So basically tonight's show is just going to be talking to Rani about her experiences doing sex work in Melbourne, being an activist around sex work. I'm sorry, I'm just using those words. That's she's okay. Looking at me like, really, I didn't know I was an activist around sex work. We've also got a great giveaway. It's a book called The Unbearable Lightness, A Story of Loss and Gain. And it's by Portia de Rossi, who was apparently born Amanda Rogers just outside of Geelong.
Amanda. I saw this on Oprah.
Just outside of Geelong, as you know, famously married to Ellen DeGeneres or whatever the legal status of marriage is now in California. It's hard to keep up. Has also been on Alec McBeal and is just talking about her...
And Arrested Development.
Thank you. About her successes, her self-doubt, depression, anorexia, bulimia, and all the various other things that come to with being a queer famous woman in Hollywood, I would imagine. So anyway, you can call or text or email us in at any time during the show to claim this wonderful prize.
Is there any way that I can win this?
No. Sorry. It's just for listeners and for members. So just text us at 0427JOY949, Facebook us at Dystopical, or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com to just get in touch with us, to talk to us about what your opinions are, or if you have anything to say about sex work and queer women, or if you want to win this amazing prize. And then we're just going to a song. Tell us more about why you're here today. So how long ago was it that you started in sex work?
I've been working as a sex worker now for 25 years on and off.
Mm-hmm.
I started working in St Kilda on Fitzroy Street. And it was really interesting listening to your debate earlier about using the word term lesbian as opposed to queer, actually, because when I was doing sex work in my mid-20s, I used to identify as a lesbian. But funnily enough, no lesbian would let me have that title.
Why is that?
Because I had sex with men for work.
Mm.
So you didn't fit into the category.
That's right. It actually turned me off dykes for a long time. I just felt that they were being just as prescriptive as men about how I should be, feel, and do. You know, so yeah.
So you got into the work about 25 years, you said, on and off, you've been working in it.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into it?
Well, I used to live in St Kilda when I was 16.
Mm.
And that means just walking around the streets, you know, going to a friend's place, going to the pub, going to wherever I was going, mm-hmm. I would get propositioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just, you know, at first it sort of struck me as odd because I was a punk and wasn't standing on a corner and waiting for it. When they would say to me, $100, that was more than I earned on the dole back then. Mm. So the first time I heard $100, it was, okay.
And what was it like? Did you like it? Was it scary? Was it exciting?
It was exciting.
Okay.
It was exciting because it was a bit of an adventure for me. I'm a bit of a curious cat and just wanted to see how it would all work, you know. It was, when I think about it now in my old age, probably a really should have been a scary thing to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where he was going to take me. I didn't know what he was going to do to me. I didn't know what to let him do, what to not let him do.
So you just kind of had to feel what was right for you and be strong enough to say, this is what I want or this is what I don't do. Or
that's right. Right. That's right. And I was very clear about that. I knew what I wanted from them. I knew I wanted the $100 and I knew I wasn't prepared to do more than oral and sex.
Yeah. And so you're part of what is termed, I guess, the sex industry. What does that entail exactly?
A sex industry is a broad term, I suppose. For me, that covers anything from peep shows to erotic dancing to being a manager in a brothel, to being a sex worker.
Mm. And look, I'm going to ask you this, even though I know it's like an awkward question.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rani, what would you say to those people who think that sex work denigrates women? What about, or even those that say that it empowers women? Like, what would you say?
Okay, we'll start off with
people?
The denigrates one.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what am I? Am I a woman? Do I look denigrated to you guys? No,
you look pretty okay to me.
Look, it depends. I suppose as for empowering women, it's empowered me. I can tell you that.
In what ways has it empowered you?
Well, I have choices now. I have built up my life. I've travelled, I've bought myself a home, a car, you know, everything I need to live my life,
mm-hmm.
Which is all the reasons we work for. Where was I? Where were we?
Oh, denigrating, yeah, empowering. Versus empowering.
Yeah, empowering. Empowering women, it only, I think, empowers certain women. It depends on what they do with it and how they feel about it and who they can share it with.
And do you think that there are right and wrong reasons to get into sex work?
That's a good question. No. Off the top of my head?
Mm.
Oh, look, you know, we all got to work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know there's workers who do it to piss their partners off.
So specifically, don't get into it to piss your partner off. There are other good ways of doing it.
Look, look, I find all the workers that I've met in brothels and on the streets, it is rare, very rare, that I'll come across someone who doesn't feel empowered by it.
Really?
Yeah.
And
I don't know how to explain it, but the first time I did it, it gave me such a high.
Mm-hmm. And has that continued, or has that high sort of worn off? And do you feel like it's just something I got to do to make money now? Or is it something that you continue to get, you know, pleasure from?
I do. Well, the difference is now the novelty's worn off.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm lucky I like sex,
mm-hmm.
and I can teach the guys what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out good for me. You know, I get good money, I get good sex. Who's complaining?
Look, I feel like I need to ask you before we go to the next song. Are there a lot of queer women in the sex industry, or like, do you feel out of your element, or
not at all?
How does it work?
Not at all. I think there's as many queer women in the sex industry as there are in the general population,
mm-hmm.
except in the sex industry they're more open and out and proud about it.
Why do you think that is?
Because when we're in our room, you know, sitting in the brothel waiting for the guys to turn up, mm-hmm. we can be ourselves, truly ourselves. We don't have to hide parts of ourselves to anybody else because we're all the same.
That's a great note for us to get a song on.
And welcome back to Dystopical. Tonight we're talking about lesbians and sex work, and we're fortunate enough to be talking with Rani.
Yep, and just remember, we've still got a prize to give away, a book, Unbearable Lightness by Portia de Rossi. So just get in touch with us, text 0427-JOY949, Facebook us at Dystopical, or email in. And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, as always. So, Rani, we were just talking about the experiences of being a queer woman in the sex industry. And just to carry on with that sort of theme around personal relationships, do you think sex work places more personal or psychological pressure on, you know, on sex workers and also on the people that, you know, are in their lives?
It does. It does. Most of the workers keep their work secret from their families, from their partners, from their friends. I'm fortunate in that most of everyone I know knows, except for my parents. And the reason I don't tell my parents is not because of what they'll think of me. I know they won't reject me, but it will gut them, and I don't want to do that to them. So I'm protecting them. You know, I'm okay with it, so why should I hurt them?
Do you ever feel like if I'm not telling them about this quite important part of my life, I'm not being honest with them?
Yeah, I do, but there's lots of other parts of my life that I don't talk to them about, so I don't feel that... Yeah, I'm keeping that one thing from them.
And what's it like with a partner or in a sexual relationship? Does that change the way...
That's interesting.
...that dynamic?
Well, I can only talk about my relationship, I suppose. I had a relationship. I've had a couple, but the last one I had was... we broke up in 97, so it was quite a while ago. And... I felt that she wanted sex on demand. She felt, I think, that because I could do sex on demand with clients, that I should be able to do it with her. But for me, it wasn't just the physical act with her. It was a deeper connection, trust, and there was, you know, loving involved. You don't feel that with clients. You know, it's just straight sex.
But is there an element of intimacy there that you have to sort of recreate? And is that quite different from the intimacy that you would have with a partner?
You're right. Yeah. The girls who have the regs that keep coming back, you do have to create...
The regs are regulars?
Regulars.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was wondering what that was too.
You do have to create a sort of... A vision of some sort of relationship going on there for them to keep coming back. Because you'll find that if they keep coming back, it's because they've made a connection with you. Not that you've necessarily made one with them,
yeah.
But they've made one with you.
Yeah.
And they keep coming back for that, whether it's for conversation, whether it's just to lie there and hold you, you know. I feel really uncomfortable with doing things like that. I know there are workers out there who tell their clients that they love them, they send them love letters for, you know, just to keep them. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me that's crossing a boundary.
Right.
Why do you feel like that's crossing a boundary?
Look, for me, that to me is playing the girlfriend fantasy.
Okay.
And if they want me to do that, then they're gonna have to pay a lot more.
So you never have... Look, I'm just going to ask you a really personal question. Have you never felt tempted to cross that boundary?
Yes. When I've been desperate for money, yes.
What about emotionally?
No.
Okay. Like in 25 years, you've never
wanted to go off with them and give it to them for free?
Yeah.
No.
So that pretty woman fantasy just like does not exist in real life.
Sorry.
I'm so glad you moved away from the microphone when you did that, Rani. And it's still overloading board.
It is. Look, I don't know where that idea's come from.
Hollywood, I guess.
Hollywood, yes.
Yeah.
It's not real life.
That's not what it's really like.
Yeah. I'm unsurprised.
So what about sex work with clients of a gender that you wouldn't necessarily have sex with in your personal life? How do you deal with that? Or is that just par for the course in the work?
Most of my clients are men.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer women in my personal life. So when I come across a female client...
And how often does that happen?
Mostly it's couples.
Yeah.
They'll come in as couples. Only once in the past 25 years have I ever seen a woman on her own.
And is that the usual experience, that women generally don't pay for sex as much as men do?
Well, the way I see it, and I've been told off for saying this before.
No, but please say it.
Men are easy. You know, really, slap on some makeup, put on a short skirt, and they're all yours.
Yeah.
You know, why would women have to go to a brothel to pay for sex when they can walk into a pub mm-hmm. and have the guy buy them a drink mm-hmm. and then take them home? And, yeah.
And what about women seeking sex with women? Do you think it's the same thing? It's quite easy to for a woman to have sex with another woman?
No, or find I don't. Yeah. I haven't found it easy. No. It's much more difficult, I've found. And my reactions, my emotions are really different when I'm working with women too, because if I'm not attracted to her, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas with guys, who cares what they look like?
Yeah.
You know, so that's really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I just made that, like, movement at you that says we're going to go to a song. It made you stop talking, and so therefore...
Here
we're
going
to go to a song.
Welcome back to Dystopical, folks. And we've just got a couple more questions for Rani. Rani, if you had a message for our listeners and for people out there, what is it that you'd want to say?
It would be, can we please treat sex workers just that, work? I mean, currently, if you register as a sex worker or even a brothel manager, you can't work in child education or childcare or even foster children. You can't travel to certain countries. Besides that being an attack on your human rights, that's just, it's not on. You know, we're not deviants, we're people, and we earn an honest dollar.
Mm-hmm. And we usually, we just got a call in from a listener, and the question is, do you believe that a lesbian would prefer to have sex for money because there's no emotional chemistry, and men are physically repulsive? Well, I'm going to leave that bit out. But
I don't want to have sex with them, but I don't think they're repulsive.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to leave that bit out because there are men that are lovely. Mm-hmm. But do you believe that a lesbian would prefer to have sex with men for money because there isn't that chemistry with men and therefore it's, you know, kind of easier in a way? And you were talking about how it's harder
right.
for you to have, or you're more pickier about the women.
Yeah. I used to think that. I used to think in my mid-20s, I remember distinctly thinking, yeah, I can do this because I'm a dyke. This is easy for me. I don't care about men. But, you know, I'm in my 40s now, so my opinion of men has changed in that time.
Mm.
You know, when I was a teenager doing it, I couldn't stand men. That's why it was so easy for me to do it. Then I got to thinking that, you know, well, actually, they're just looking for some company, some companionship, and, yeah, maybe some sex too.
Mm.
Now, I just think they're human like anyone else and have needs like anyone else.
Right.
It's, yeah.
They're not that bad.
Not that bad, no.
And, Rani, we usually have a little section, an Agni Aunt column, on our show that we call Dear Dystopical. And we made up a question for you this week.
Okay.
And the question is, what advice would you give to someone or a woman who is looking to become a sex worker?
Okay. I would say in this climate, because we don't have sex work university courses or TAFE courses, it would be good if you could get yourself a mentor, mm-hmm. you know, someone who could teach you the ropes.
And is it pretty friendly? Like, is there camaraderie among sex workers where it would be easy to find a mentor?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it's hit and miss whether you click with someone enough and whether they've got the time to do it. There's nothing set up like that.
Yeah.
So basically, if you've got the confidence in yourself, you're clear about why you're doing it and you can share it with someone, because you're going to want to. It's so interesting. You're going to come out of the brothel at the end going, wow, I have to tell someone what I just did.
I just did this really amazing thing.
Yeah. But one bit of advice, do not register as a sex worker. That would be my one bit of advice.
Why?
It limits your freedom.
Okay.
Why does it limit your freedom?
Because you can't foster children, you can't work in childcare or education, you can't travel to certain countries.
So how would you go about it legally then?
The only legal way in Victoria to do it is do it via escort work or brothel work.
Okay. And thank you very much again, Ronnie, for being with us. Really appreciated your time. And we're just going to go to a song.
Thank you.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.